Today's show is brought to you by Audible. Visit audiblepodcast.com/auctionpodcast for your free audiobook download. Hi, this is Martin Willis in the Antique Auction Podcast Show, and this is one of our segments for the an upcoming auction. We have on the phone Wes Cowan. Wes, how you doing?
I'm great, thank you.
Good, good. So you have a nice auction coming up.
We do. It's December 9th, and the catalog is online right now on our website at www.cowans.com, and for those folks who get hard copies, it'll be mailed in about a week.
Great, great. Well, first of all, your background, I wanted to talk to you real quickly about that. One of my favorite shows to watch is The History Detective. You've been on that, what, 7 years?
I have been.
Yeah. And
it's a great PBS show. It's a summer show. Comes on Monday nights right after the Antiques Roadshow at 9 o'clock. Airs basically from the end of June through Labor Day.
Yeah, that's such a fun show. If you ever get sick, let me know. I'll cover for you.
Okay, you'll have to line up behind a lot of other people who've expressed the same interest.
Yeah, I'm sure. Well, the auction you have coming up, you have several different departments, right? And this one is the ephemera. Basically?
Well, we do. We have I have an auction company that's one of the largest auction companies in the Midwest. We specialize in the sale of things that relate to American history, particularly 19th century photography, manuscripts, things that relate to the Civil War, the opening of the American West. But we also sell historic firearms and early militaria in another division. We sell American Indian art and Western art. And then we have a big department that specializes in furniture, paintings, decorative art, silver, and that sort of thing.
You come up with some beautiful things over the years and great catalogs, too. Your website is, you have one of the few websites that, or maybe one of the only ones that you can actually bid live on that. We have your own live bidding program, right?
Well, you know, there are a number of third-party vendors that allow auctioneers to list their auctions on the internet and then provide a service that will allow potential bidders to bid live in real time on the net. We started doing this long ago, more than 10 years ago, and recently developed our own proprietary live bidding platform called iCowans.com that allows our regular customers and new customers to bid live on any one of our auctions that we have posted online.
Right. Well, so they just have to go through a sign up process through your website, right?
Sure. It's a matter of registering, and then we approve you as a registrant, and then you're good to go.
Right. Right. Okay. So let's talk about your upcoming auction, the date, and you're in Cincinnati.
That's right. We're in Cincinnati. For those of you who are listening to this podcast, and I'm continually amazed at the people who don't know, Cincinnati is on the Eastern Standard Time Zone.
You know, I almost wouldn't have known that.
Most people think we're in the Central Time Zone, but it's Eastern Standard Time Zone.
Really?
Same time as New York.
Uh-huh. And your auction is December 9th, begins at 10 a.m.?
That's correct.
All right. Okay, so let's talk about some of the highlights. I was looking through your catalog last night, and this is one of the segments of the business I really, really enjoy. You have some wonderful images. You have several different categories. You have Civil War. You have Native American. You have things like Buffalo Bill, a segment of Western items. And so let's talk, first of all, let's talk about the daguerreotypes. I saw you have a steam locomotive.
Yeah, we've got a great image of a steam locomotive. And, of course, for the people who are listening to this who don't know, the daguerreotype was the earliest commercially viable form of photography in the world. It was introduced into America in 1839. was finally eclipsed by another photographic invention in the mid 1850s. But for that almost 20-year period, or 15-year period, it was the way you had your picture taken in the U.S. And of course, most of the photographs that were taken as studio portraits. So daguerreotypes of things that were taken outside the studio where the photographer really couldn't control the lighting and the sitter are relatively rare.
Right.
This image of this daguerreotype of the locomotive in probably northern Ohio is a very exceptional image.
It really is great. I hope the listener will look at it. It's and I saw you had one other of it's a little a cottage or something.
I'm not sure.
Victorian home, I believe.
No. It's probably the Rappahannock Military.
College.
Yes. Yeah.
That's right.
Yeah. That's a rare image too.
Mm-hmm.
But just to go back to the locomotive, I want to tell you why I like that image so much. You know, when you look at that, you'll see that it's very informal. Most daguerreotypes were very formally posed. This image is so informal. The engineer is hanging out of the cab, looking sort of to the front of the locomotive, and standing there with his back to the photographer is probably the fireman for the locomotive, the guy who was feeding wood or coal into the firebox. He's standing at the front of the engine, oiling a piston, and his back is completely turned to the photographer. He doesn't care he doesn't care if the photographer's there. Very unusual for a daguerreotype to be that informal.
That's right. Yeah, I can't even. I saw one time with horses in front of a bakery, and it was all, the horses' heads were all blurry because they were moving. So that was pretty cool. But yeah, it's really rare to find something like that. And you have some great images of Native Americans. Why don't you talk a little bit about that?
Well, we have sold some important collections of American Indian photography in the past 5 years, and which resulted in very strong prices. And because of that, we've gained a national reputation for selling American Indian photography. And it seems that every auction we get that we have now of American history, we get great consignments of American Indian photographs. And this sale is no exception.
Mm-hmm.
There are some great pictures of the Oglala chief, Red Cloud, who was one of the seminal figures of the Indian Wars period. There are some great photographs of Geronimo. There's an exceptionally touching photograph of the Comanche chief or Comanche leader, Quanah Parker, looking at a painting of his mother. It just goes on and on.
Yeah. Yeah, it's amazing. And also, lot number 125, the Alex Stephen family, that is amazing. You have an archive, plus you have images of the family, and also their kept slaves and things like that.
Well, Alexander Stevens was the vice president of the Confederacy. And we were fortunate to have received this archive from a North Carolina collector who had purchased it years ago directly from the Stevens family.
Mm-hmm.
It includes a quarter plate daguerreotype of the young Alexander Stevens. Maybe
I saw that.
It may be the earliest known photograph of him, but there are also various other family members, including two of the family's enslaved African Americans.
Now I saw you have large lots of like archives of Civil War papers and intact. One of them, I think it was lot number 165, it was a huge collection of diaries and things like that. Now, and you keep these together when you're selling as one lot. I think that's actually a pretty good idea.
Well, we sell Civil War letter archives on a routine basis in these sorts of sales. And this is the current offering is pretty typical of the kinds of things that we get. Most folks don't realize it, but the Civil War was the first war, American war, in which members of both sides were literate, and North and South soldiers rode home on a very routine basis, and these manuscript or letter archives tend to be things that were kept in from one generation to the next and passed down. And so we like to keep them together. That's the way they've been for 125 or 130 years now, and that's the way we try to sell them.
Yeah, great. And I saw also you have, which I think is pretty funny and amazing, actually, is bark from a tree where Lisa rendered.
Yeah, that's right. Well, you know, that again is it's a great example of what I call a historical relic. It's something that was associated with some historic event that a souvenir collector at the time collected and then passed down. Other kinds of historical relics that we've sold over the years are pieces of wood from old iron sites, as old iron sites have been refitted. A piece of wood from the step where the first casualty of the Civil War put his foot. We sold a couple of years ago a lemon from George Washington's lemon tree at Mount Vernon.
These
were all things that were associated with important events or people that have been passed down and passed down and passed down.
What kind of shape was that lemon in?
It was very dried up, but it was very discernible as a lemon.
And it just had, did it have like a papers written with it?
It was actually stored in a jar that had a lid on it, and then there was a paper label on the outside of the jar and written in, you know, manuscript hand from the 1850s. It must have been earlier than the 1850s, but it wasn't from the time when Washington was alive. Washington had planted the lemon tree, and it was collected sometime after Washington died. But it's collected by the gardener at Mount Vernon.
Wow, that's great. I wonder how many other ones he did.
Who knows?
Yeah. So you have Mexican War items, quite a bit, actually. And that, handbills and letters, and what are some other things you can think of right off the bat that you have in this auction?
Well, we've got a great group of photographs from the Greeley expedition in the Arctic when Adolphus Greeley was basically trapped in the ice, and rescue ships couldn't get to him, and the government sent ships to get him, and we have a group of incredible photographs from the rescue expedition.
I saw that. I saw, like, the stretchers and everything.
That's right.
Yeah.
That's right.
Yeah, that's quite a lot right there. That should have a lot of interest, I imagine.
Well, we hope so. It's definitely, again, one of those events in the exploration of the Arctic that will go down as one of the most tragic events. Greeley's men during the 1883 and 1884 got stuck in the Arctic, and they ended up cannibalizing each other as they ran out of food.
Yeah.
And, it's a great group of photographs.
Right. And so this is, I was noticing in your cataloging, it's very, very well done. There's a lot of intense information. This is something I really enjoy doing when I'm working with this type of material. It's not even work. It's just fun to do all the research. But very well cataloged. Do you have a lot of people cataloging these things, or one certain?
We have a number of great catalogers, and we have some great specialists who really are experts in their field, who help catalog the material.
Now, I noticed you have such a large grouping of Civil War items. Is that from, like, collectors or families, or how does that get to you?
Well, we get not only the Civil War items, but all of our materials comes from a variety of different sources. Of course, collectors are always looking to upgrade their collections, and collectors pass on or they lose interest in their collections. But we also get things fresh from the families who've had these things in their attics, and for whatever reason have decided to pass them on. Their children don't want them, or they need the money. So we get things from a variety of different sources.
And you get consignments from all over, correct?
Yeah, our consignments come from, for these American history auctions, from coast to coast and from north to south.
Now, like right now, do you have an auction slated for the spring?
We do. It will be held in June of 2010. Our American history auctions are held twice annually, or at least our major sales are held twice annually. And then we have periodic sales where of lesser material, but still great stuff, but things that don't require a printed catalog.
Mm-hmm.
And these are available in online-only auctions. So we'll have an online-only auction coming up in January of American history material, too.
Mm-hmm. So if someone were to consign to you right now, they could consign for your January auction or your June auction, right?
Probably for our June auction. Our January auction is already closed. Our December auction, of course, is closed.
Mm-hmm.
But we're always looking for great consignments for our June auction.
Right. That's all right. So I wanted to thank you very much. And your website, you want to throw that out, your phone number?
Absolutely. www.cowans.com. www.cowans.com. And we can also be reached via a landline, 513-871-1670.
Great. Okay, Wes, so the auction's coming up December 9th in Cincinnati, Ohio. And it was a real pleasure speaking with you today. And I hope you have a great success in this auction.
Thanks so much, and glad to help out in any way that I can.
All right, Wes. Take care. Thank you. Yeah. That was Wes Cowan, and his auction coming up on December 9th. This is Martin Willis in the Antique Auction Podcast, signing off.